Welcome back in, everybody, to Birds 365, a Monday edition of the show. We are 10 days out from the NFL draft, joined now by Jeff Kerr from CBS Sports. Follow him at Jeff Kerr CBS. Jeff, how you doing on this Monday morning, brother? Good to talk to you again, as always.
I'm going to get John fired up this morning.
Here we go.
If I hear one more T.J. Watt to the Eagles rumor.
Oh, yeah.
They should be banned from social media.
I love it.
What a bunch of engagement farming horse crap that is.
We didn't even mention it in our open, Jeff. I'm proud of that.
Well, I was going to mention Tanner McKee. I'm getting all these Tanner McKee to New Orleans people because of the Derek Carr situation with the Saints. And it's like, what is the obsession with Tanner McKee? They think they're getting a third round pick for Tanner McKee.
This fan base sometimes, and again, it's not nobody on here. It's nobody that's listening to this show, but I just think people say stuff to say stuff. That's why, Xander, I'm glad you're wearing the Amen Corner hat today. I couldn't enjoy Rory McIlroy's win yesterday because that was the greatest final round in Masters history. Well, every year is the greatest final round in Masters history, so you take that away from me. Because it actually was a great final round.
I know. It actually was. I was going to say, that one actually had a good chance to be the greatest final round.
But you see where I'm going with this. Like, everything's the greatest game ever. The greatest performance ever.
I got you.
You can't enjoy anything anymore. It sucks.
Yeah, I'm with you. And that was impressive. But, you know, you could look at it the other way. It's like, that. What impressed me most about Rory, I said, was the perseverance. You know, usually you fall apart. I always say that about Jalen Hurts to bring back the football. It's what I'm most impressed about with Jalen Hurts. He can play a bad first quarter, bad second quarter, bad third quarter. And you still, he's a 60-minute, that's what they used to say about Adrian Peterson, all day. 60-minute, all day sucker. You better keep going because he's going to get you in the end. I have a lot of respect for athletes that can go through that because you know the chatter. Oh, he choked. He did this. He did that. Oh, and then to be mentally tough enough to recover and win, I'm always impressed by that.
I had one of those moments Thursday night, John. So where our team is bowling for a spot in the playoffs, and I'm the anchor bowler. The guy screwed
anchor.
Up. Yes. So the guy I was bowling, we needed to win and win by 24 pins. So we all have the win locked up yet. So we basically had to do 2-for-1. Their anchor bowler gave me an opportunity to win the game. Bury the first shot, so we got the win. I need to bury the second shot. I need to get a strike on the second shot to basically clinch a playoff spot. Buried it, left the 10 pin. I exactly know what Rory McIlroy was going through on that 18th hole.
There we go. Because
I would have probably had one of those Pete Weber type celebrations if I would have drilled it. I just kind of did a stare down and said,
"Stop, Pete Weber. It's Phil McCracken. You got to go, Phil McCracken.
Phil McCracken. Yeah. Got to guarantee." Yeah, but when Rory McIlroy was just hitting bad shot after bad shot yesterday, and then just getting out of the trees and hitting these great shots, I'm like, man, I give him credit. That's
some of those shots though from the pine straw from the trees were in. I mean, that one where he bent it around. He wasn't too deep in the pine straw on that one, but I think it was, I don't know what hole that was, 16 maybe. And he bent that shot around. I couldn't believe that shot. Yeah. Man, that
by the way, Xander, can you guys tell I work in TV? Because we had our Phillies Weekly show last night and we have it every Sunday at 7. And I'm like, Rory, make this putt so people can actually get distracted into in the Phillies Weekly. I don't care if it's only 500 people. And he missed. I'm like, well, there goes the live audience.
Right.
Yeah, that is that's tough. When you got big competition, it's always tough.
Oh, yeah. You know, what are you watching, the Masters or Phillies Weekly? I mean, I was even watching the Masters during the show.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Phillies, we've talked about it. The truth dropped two series now, Jeff. That's why everybody's got to relax. But what do you think of them so far?
I mean, they got issues. I mean, I'm concerned about center field. I'm concerned about their middle relief. Bats can get cold. But like you said, Xander, you know, 9-6 is a 6-hour win pace. I mean, that's a 6-hour win
pace. Yeah, I mean, that's not bad.
No, that's 97, 98 wins. So
no, it's not bad. But when you get into the crunch time, I mean, we're far away from that, but they got to do something, like you just said, about center field. You can't have Brandon Marsh is what, 0-26 in his last 26 at bat?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's batting like 108.
I mean, you can't have that. You can't have that.
I always say, like, there are things you can overreact to and things you can't overreact to. The overall state of the team, you can't. But if you want to talk about Brandon Marsh or Alec struggles, I do think that's fair game.
And the bullpen. The bullpen makes me nervous, Jeff.
Yeah. But this is what I also say, too. We'll bring it back to football. I just think everybody treats baseball
basketball. Like football, yeah.
Yeah, like football. And, no, that's not right. That's not how things work.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, the Phillies are – I just looked. They're two games behind the best record in the National League. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't panic at this point. Yeah,
And they're not playing that well.
No, exactly. And obviously, if you're in that kind of slump, you probably have to make a move at certain positions. But yeah, it's a game of it truly is. Like I hear NFL coaches all the time say, the NFL is a marathon. No, it's not.
Not like baseball.
Baseball's a marathon.
I'll tell you what, 18 game seasons, it might feel like a marathon.
It might for us, because last year felt like a marathon for me. I can't deny that.
Year was weird. I usually think the seasons are marathons because I'm covering the whole league. This year was kind of quick. I don't
Not
know why.
For me, man. You know, that Rams game, I was like,
oh, I know. Oh, trust me, you were already trying to book your flight.
But you know, after that, it was like, oh boy, we're going the whole way. Get ready for it. And they did. And they deserve credit because, you know, it's one of the best teams I've ever seen, you know, looking back in hindsight.
When they beat Baltimore and Baltimore, I really started getting that feeling like I might be going to New Orleans this year.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive, and that's what we're talking about, trying to reload it the best way possible. I did see over the cap that their snaps lost for the 2025 season, and the Eagles were at 27.4%, which is not number one, but it's top five. They lost over a quarter of their snaps from players. And if you look at the teams ahead, sometimes losing snaps isn't a bad thing. One of the teams ahead of them is the Raiders. Well, they stink. You don't want those guys back, a lot of those guys. So sometimes it's a good thing. But the Eagles were Super Bowl champions, so I don't think it's necessarily a good thing. And the other teams ahead of them were Miami. They're sort of in the middle for me. They were tops. They lost 33% of their snaps. So one third of their playing time they've lost. They're not great. They're not terrible. So they're not relevant. And the other team ahead of the Vikings ahead of the Eagles was the Vikings at 28%. But they lost their quarterback. So that kind of skews it. Point being, Eagles lost a lot of snaps, and they have to replace a lot of good snaps, unlike the Raiders. Is that realistic when we talk about, oh, this guy's got to do this, this guy's got to do that? How realistic is it to be one of the best teams of the modern era? Jeffrey Lurie said that, and I can't debate him on that. I think he's right. You can say, well, this team was better, but they're in the conversation.
And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, John. I agree. It's just so hard to replace what they had. And, you know, it's not like the 85 Bears where that team came back for 86 because of free agency. There wasn't free agency.
Yeah.
This team has to replace a Josh Sweat, a Milton Williams, a Darius Slay, Goran Burse even. Good players. And – It was funny this week, John. I don't want to get fans too hyped up right now, but I did do my mock draft this week. I do my one and only mock draft, and I changed it up. I did who a team should draft, or like a big board of the best 32. You guys know somehow Malachi Starks fell within 28-32. I don't know how that happened, but it did.
Oh, I that wouldn't shock me at all.
I mean, in that range. Would you trade up to get a guy like that, though, if he's around there?
Would I? Probably not that particular player. I wouldn't have a problem going. I'm not as high on him as other people are. You know, there's the Georgia part of it that the Eagles might like. But then they already have a Georgia safety that failed, not here, but elsewhere in Lewis Dean. There's not a guarantee because you play at Georgia, even though it's worked out well for the most part with the Eagles.
The guy I like is the kid from Ole Miss, the defensive tackle.
Yeah, I think everybody likes Walter Nolan. But yeah. I'm like, why is he in the range of 32? That scares the living hell out of me.
His game tape's not uber productive.
I mean, like I think it was Greg Cosell who compared him to Jalen Carter. And I'm like, well, why the hell is he at 32? You know, I mean, the only reason Jalen Carter was at 9, we just talked about it with Kyron Lazy, is because he made a devastating mistake and causing a tragedy and helped causing a tragedy. It's the only reason he fell to 9.
By the way,
how are you making that comparison?
2 years ago at this time, we were talking about Jalen Carter being number one pick.
Exactly.
Even with that.
Yeah. I still say he's the best. I said it the day of the draft, before the draft, after the draft. He was the best player in that draft.
I think I texted you that night, John. I said, would it shock you if the Eagles traded up to get Jalen Carter? And literally, they did it like 5 minutes later.
Yeah. I called, not that I was the only one, but I said, that's the most Eaglesy pick of all time, Jalen Carter. So it's such an easy decision for them. If he's in their realm, they're going to get him.
And they didn't think twice about it.
No.
The Bears passed on Jalen Carter twice.
I've mentioned that a time or two on this show. What an embarrassing organization. Just to have no confidence in yourself. That's like a human being with no confidence in themselves. The Chicago Bears. That's how I described them.
You know,
we can't take that on.
By the way, that was the highlight of my football season, just because I covered the Thanksgiving game every year for Bears. I do the Lions Thanksgiving game every year. And it's a lot more fun now that the Lions are good and they always have a headline or two. The Bears gave me everything I needed in that last 30 seconds. Yeah. I was busy on Thanksgiving, but that's sometimes when you enjoy doing what you really enjoy doing, what you're doing, because you get to dissect everything that went wrong and you get to get every single quote of what went wrong. And oh man, like I know we're now it's like you're in the business for clicks and all that, but sometimes it just writes themselves. And Matt Eberflus did. And I wrote a column saying he's going to get fired. And Bears fans are just on me. Like, no, he shouldn't. They should let him finish out the year or they should fire him tomorrow. They fired him the next day.
He's back at the DC, right? Somebody hired him as a DC.
Yeah, he's Dallas.
Yeah, he's in Dallas. Which, by the way, is an upgrade over Zimmer.
Yeah, he's a fine defensive coordinator. I think he'll be fine. I just don't think he's a head coach. I think he proved that.
Yeah, he reminds me of Jeff Kerr's favorite coach, Dennis Allen.
Yeah, Dennis Allen will be fine as a DC, too. Yeah. You know,
Ben Johnson's got a good coaching staff in Chicago.
Yeah, we'll see if he's a good head coach. Just because he's a good offensive coordinator doesn't mean he's going to be a good head coach.
Ten years ago, they thought Adam Gase was the next great head coach.
Hey, this team thought Adam Gase was the greatest head coach.
They did.
I love that story that the Eagles wanted to hire Adam Gase. Although I think he would have been more successful here than he was there. To be honest,
there's a lot of coaches that, you know, it's a what if. Jim Haslett over Andy Reid. Josh McDaniels over Nick Sirianni. There were others over Nick Sirianni too, but Adam Gase over Doug Peterson.
Ben McAdoo over Doug Peterson.
Gus Bradley over Chip Kelly.
No, Gus wasn't over Chip. That was Chip.
Chip playing the cards, I guess.
Going back and forth. And then when it became clear Oregon was going to get smacked with a bunch of violations, then he said, all right, I'll come. Actually, Gus got screwed because of Chip changing his mind.
Gus got the royal treatment. Remember the Gus bus and all that?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He I can't. Yeah, I'm torn on Chip because I think he did a lot of good things, and I think it was still today that everybody uses that nobody like. I think he brought a lot of things to the NFL. But man, he just had no filter. He had no ability to adapt. It was like, this is my way.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, and there's a lot of good to it with the tempo stuff and the sports science stuff, but I'm not changing it at all.
A lot of really good players on those teams, they loved what I told them years later. I said, I can't imagine being a grown man and someone telling you, you got to go to bed at 9 p.m. They go, that's it. That's it. And I said, yep.
He was made for college and ironically hated college. Because you can, and maybe not now, NIL. But back then you could tell them what to do and they do it and all that kind of stuff. But he hated recruiting. He hated dealing with parents. I think he hates dealing with people in general. Tough to be a football coach if you hate dealing with people.
And John McMullen and I couldn't be head coaches.
No, I could not. I first of all, you have to have relentless optimism in today's game. Relentless optimism. Like, you can't coach like Bill Parcells. Can't do it. The hard ass, calling your players girls. Can't do it.
Now, that's why I think Bill Belichick struggles. Because he knows a certain style, and that style just doesn't work.
Yeah, that's certainly part of it. So
Andy Reid adapted.
Yeah, he did. You know, it's one of the greatest things. I always find it ironic. How old is Andy?
Andy is 60.
He's getting close to 70, right?
He's in his mid-60s.
Andy, so he's
42.
67. Just 67, turned 60 there you go. Last month.
I always thought, you know, everybody's into, we hear it every year, the offseason in Philadelphia, where you have got to be more innovative, got to be more creative, got to be this, got to be that. And Andy at 65 remains the most innovative and creative coach in the NFL.
I still laugh when some Eagles fans love to go on this Andy Reid never did anything for this franchise. I'm like, they still use Andy Reid's stuff today. Yeah. It still exists, and they don't want to admit that.
The whole organization is built on Andy Reid from the football. They admit it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. They admit it.
They admit it at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Howie talks about it all the time. Jeffrey talks about it all the time. That their mistake was going away from it during the Chip era, but it was a very small, and then they went right back to it.
You know what? I honestly give this organization so much credit in this, and I would tell anybody that's willing to listen to. I'd even tell Jeffrey Lohr, the best thing you ever done for the Philadelphia Eagles was admit your mistake when you made it.
What, Chip?
Chip.
Yeah, I push back on that from the standpoint of he admits it's his biggest mistake now, but you know that was like, and I speak very highly. I think Jeffrey's the best owner in the NFL. I truly believe that. But, like, his decision to why he had to go with Chip Kelly to prove that he couldn't do it, that's dumb. And I don't like calling billionaires dumb because they're smarter than me because I can't make $6 billion. But that's goofy. Like, if you believe in one guy and you don't believe in another guy and you want to prove that you want to give him every chance to bail, no. Say, yeah, I think he's going to fail, and I'd like this guy.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, I would have told Chip, guess what? It's Howie. Howie's my guy.
Exactly.
Deal with it. Like, if you don't like it, you can leave.
Exactly.
And then, you know, Okay, so you take a PR hit. Big deal.
nobody's perfect, and he's made mistakes, and that's one of them. And, framing it the way he has, no, you should have showed the courage of your convictions originally. And if he walks, he walks. Who cares?
Yeah, you hire another one.
They might hire another one in 2 years because they're like, why am I paying this guy? Whatever Nick gets, 15, 18, 20, wherever he goes.
I don't think Nick's going anywhere because the owner loves that he's the perfect owner for him. He doesn't want more than they want him to have. Like Doug wanted
more. A lot for it. They can do it with another young guy.
They might think Nick's like a George Seifert. Like George Seifert was a really good coach until he wasn't.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, keep that in mind. If they, it's down the road. We're talking at least 2 years down the road. But if they're, because they're going to be a good team. But if they're like, if one of the best teams in the modern era turns into 11 wins, back-to-back playoff, first-round exit, something like that, then you'll start hearing the noise.
Pay $20 million for Nick.
Exactly.
I just hope this fan base is prepared for how hard it is to win back-to-back Super Bowls. They should know this. But,
yeah, they should.
But they don't. And it's going to be like, well, you know, oh, we're going to trade for T.J. Watt. I'm like, come on. No.
Why did that piss you off so much? Just because there's no possible scenario where that would happen?
But quite honestly, I'm just sick and tired of getting lies on social media and making fans stupid.
It's clickbait season, Jeff. I haven't been on social media in a couple of weeks because
they're smart. But
it's truly clickbait.
But this is why fans are stupid, and then they blame the media for being stupid. I'm like, no, it's your fake ass content creators. It is.
I agree with you 100%. I'm a little bit nicer about it, which is strange because I'm not typically known as the nice one. But yeah, Jeff.
And there are good ones out there, and they give them a bad name that don't do this stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of smart fans out there too. But I hear what you're saying. That you know, the Twitter is an echo chamber.
I'm just telling you, as the A student in school, there's a lot more D students than there are A students.
That's true.
That's the issue. And people fall for it. But my parents are smart people. My dad's a smart guy. He asks me all the time, oh, is it true the Eagles could trade for TJ? I'm like, where do you hear this stuff from? Oh, this said it. I'm like, well, don't listen to that.
The inception of aggregation happened on, and I'll rip my own site. I always do it because they do these goofy, they have this, it's not Ed or I, but they have these goofy people that just read other people's stuff and write stories off that. So it was the inception of aggregation. I was called a certain person, the aggregator in chief that you probably know.
Oh yeah.
And he wrote a story and this moron aggregated off of that story. And I'm like, it's the inception of aggregation. I don't know what's going on. But it's and people read this stuff and they take it seriously.
That's the issue. Like, look, I saw a post and I thought this was more than fair. You put odds your team's training for TJ Watt based on FanDuel or whatever. You put that on there, that's fine. But don't just say, oh, would you take this, and this for TJ Watt? That's just engagement form.
Yeah, but it's speculation season, guy. I mean, that's what people got to do.
But that's the problem. I know.
I'm not saying you're wrong. What I'm saying is that this industry has gotten to the point where we have a show that's every single day. There are other people out there that feel they have to do those things to create views, to create clips. I mean, Jeff, let's be real. And John, we are in speculation season. And you can say anything. I can say any player, you could say, I mean, there was Patriots people saying they're going to get AJ Brown a couple of weeks ago. Like you can say anything and get away with it.
Well, that's what I got mad about. There were actual credible journalists doing this. And I'm like, where are you guys getting your information from?
It was a big thing.
I don't have any problem with speculation. I mean, that's part of what we do, whether it's, you know, we speculate all the time. Are the Eagles going to beat the Cowboys during the week? You know, I mean, that's all that is.
And I'm not lying when I say the Eagles are going, they're going to be in the market for, they're not done in terms of getting a big edge rusher. They're at least looking, But it ain't TJ Watt.
No, it you know, to me, you can speculate because the Eagles need an edge rusher and TJ's phenomenal and all that kind of stuff. And that all that part of it makes sense. But what I always try to do on this show is educate, elevate the conversation, I always say. You know, then explain, well, yeah, how, but remember what Howie said about Myles Garrett. If we make this, we're not in a position to make this type of move. And if we do, we're going to have to take away elsewhere, from elsewhere, meaning we're going to have to move other players, cut other players, things like that. So as long as you're fine with that, speculate away. If you're not fine with that and just saying, oh, can we add TJ Watt for a third round pick and a second round pick?
Yeah.
You know.
You know,
and not even talk about the contract on top of it, you know?
I mean, I speculated yesterday with Brandon Marsh. I said, look, he's got two minor league options remaining. I didn't make an opinion on it. I just tweeted, he's got two minor league options remaining, you know? You can do the math.
Yeah, one thing about trades, and it's more so in baseball, so you know it, and basketball. Fans never talk about the contracts. They're trading the contract.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, if you have players that are disgruntled, you're trading for a player that wants a bigger contract. So you're going to have to work something out on top of it where the already enormous contract is going even higher.
Yeah. That's the thing. TJ Watt's going to get an extension.
Exactly.
People don't realize that. And look, I work with the guy's brother. So, you know.
What's he going to get? $40 million, you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Micah's going to get 40. Micah's going to be the highest paid
non-quarterback. Yeah,
they could have signed that deal a year ago and gave him 32.
Exactly, Xander. Like, Dallas is proud to have Dak Prescott be the highest
paid quarterback. By the way, I'm glad we went down the contract. I want to get your thoughts on this. Boy. Houston clarified everything when it comes to Cooper DeJean. Everything. They made Derek Stingley the highest paid outside cornerback in football, and they made Jalen Petrie the highest paid nickel defender for 2 days, because now Kyler Gordon is the highest paid nickel defender in the history of football.
Yeah, that's right. Kyler Gordon got a lot of money.
Yeah. Look at the difference between Stingley's contract and look at the difference between Gordon's contract.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of millions.
$90 million to $40
million. I'll take
that's 40. The difference between excelling at outside corner and excelling in the slot. Now, the Eagles can make Cooper DeJean the highest paid slot, and they will if he continues to play at this level. But if you're Cooper DeJean,
yeah,
you want to play outside eventually. The business comes into it. And I know fans don't like to hear that. We'll do it for the team. $90 million to $40 million? $90 million to $40 million.
These are the same people that if you work at Walmart and they offered you $20 an hour and Target offers you $25 an hour, you're going to Target.
And you should.
I know. Like,
it's a perfect comp, but I'll take it.
I mean, that's how these guys think. I know enough college players that stay in college. They tell the president about the money. I'm like, guess what?
It's about the money. Just don't overplay your hand or Tennessee will send you out the pass.
Yeah, think about that. Tennessee quarterback is holding out for $4 million, whatever it was. Yeah. $4 million. Brock Purdy made $970,000.
Brock Purdy's like, do I have another year of eligibility left? Is there a way I can go back?
You know, why would you leave
college? Another year of his deal left? Does he have to play on that? They're going to make him play on that deal again, are they?
I don't think so.
No. They're going to have to pay him at some point.
Yeah.
Well, he does have another year of the deal, though. So, I mean,
but he can hold out and say, hey, look.
I think they're paying him this year. It's just a matter of when. But still, you get the point. I mean, why are these guys leaving college? College football's broken. There's a lot of college football people that treat it like a religion. Your sport is screwed.
I love
college football, and I have no problem admitting
that. It's broken.
That.
And it's messed up right now. I hate what's going on with the sport. I like how players are getting paid. But they went from, basically it's like the Dark Knight Rises. Bane just let everybody out.
Yeah. It's not financially sustainable.
No, the other thing that's happening too is that like colleges don't, they're not even recruiting high school players anymore because they're just going to the portal. You can go, there's 600 players in the portal on the first day. Yeah. You know, do I want to go?
You know, what are the things?
College, or do I want to go and draft or take high schoolers? You know, they're not even doing that anymore.
Yeah, you get these college prospects coming out that played at four different colleges, three different colleges all the time. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
And you know what? Look, nothing against Justin Fields. Nothing against him. He played the game right. He did it right. But I hated how I'm not starting at Georgia. And it's just me, just me as a competitor instead of wanting to beat somebody. And he was better than Jake Fromm. I'm not starting here. I'm leaving.
Yeah, I'm torn by that. You know,
I don't know. Here's my one pushback, Jeff, is how are you going to hate the player, right? Like,
I hate the mentality of the player.
It's the game, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't hate the player, hate the game. Like, if you're telling these kids, you know, make nothing and sit on the bench or, you know, jump in the portal, go over to this college, get a brand new car, a brand new everything you
I see, Xander, it's now take the easy way out is literally the easy way out.
Yeah.
Like, the competitor in me says, I'm going to beat this guy. I'm going to hope this guy fails. And I'm going to take this job. Boom. But that's just not how it works anymore.
Yeah, no, that doesn't.
Well, I get it.
Even in the real world, that's not how it works.
I get both sides of that fence because, you know, you're not going to get noticed unless you play.
Yeah.
So ultimately, if you're thinking about your NFL future, you want to go somewhere where you can play. But to your point, I get where scouts say, look, I'd rather have this guy compete because he's going to be an NFL level prospect.
Right.
So I see both sides of that fence, but generally I would recommend the players go somewhere where you can play.
Yeah. I mean, look, here's the other part of it, Jeff, too. There's two quarterbacks in the NFL right now that are the upper echelon of the league that had to leave their schools. I mean, Joe Burrow had to transfer out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Of Ohio State and Jalen Hurts, right? Now, his story was a little different. He stayed in Alabama for an entire year. Jalen graduated.
He could leave.
His story was much different. I mean, that's what college football has created where, you know.
There's a lot of them. There's more than that. Yeah. There's Justin Fields. Russell Wilson was at North Carolina State before he went to Wisconsin.
And that was long ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
And Russell Wilson was like Jalen. He graduated, and then he had the option.
Yeah, before the transfer portal, the graduate transfer was the biggest thing, where a guy would go play his last season somewhere else. But, it happens all the time. So from that standpoint, and Kirby Smart, does a good job keeping as many players as possible. And that's why we talked about with all these Georgia guys, Jalen Carter, well, can he play 1,000 snaps? Well, yes, we now know he can.
Yep.
But he didn't have to at Georgia. He didn't have to play all those snaps because he wants to keep his second string guys who are going to be number one or number two picks, second round picks down the road. He wants to keep them in the program. He's done the best job at that.
Penn State goes through the same thing.
Yeah.
With their guys. Like, they have to keep Nicholas Singleton and Katron Allen happy.
Boy, I hate to make Jeff happy, but I'm going to make him happy. I already said this. The best player in this draft is Abdul Carter.
I agree.
And the safest player in this draft is Tyler Warren. God, I hate doing it in front of Jeff Kerr, but I did it.
This is what James Franklin lives for. I produce NFL talent.
He does. And so you can't call me a Penn State hater, at least for 2 weeks.
I'll tell you what, Penn State's got some good players that are going to go in the mid rounds too.
Now you got a bunch of good players. The Eagles were looking at
Jalen Reed's one of them.
Yeah. That the other safety got hurt. He's eligible, right?
Kevin Winston. Yep.
Yeah, he's better.
He was better, Jalen Reed, until he got hurt.
They got a ton of talent. That's not the issue at Penn State.
Who was Jeff? Here's a little trivia for you. Who was the last Penn State draft pick that the Eagles had? Actually, this should be easy for you.
Last Penn State draft pick? Is it Miles?
Yeah, Miles and Sharif Miller.
Miller went that year, too.
Miller did not work out.
Yeah. Both in that year, yep, 2019.
Yeah. It's so weird with, like, the Eagles avoided Penn State players like the plague for years, and now you got, like, four of them in the locker room.
Yeah, who we got? Saquon, Tariq Castro Fields,
Jahan Dotson. Brand Smith was in there for a bit. Not there now, but he was.
Yeah. Let's talk a little Jahan Dotson, because I think he's the best wide receiver three of the Nick Sirianni era.
I agree with that. Hell of a lot better than Quez Watkins was.
Yeah. Now, they signed sort of late and out of nowhere. They signed Terrace Marshall, typical Eagles move.
Didn't you hear he's taking Jahan Dotson's job? That's another one.
That's why I'm bringing it up. I'm not comparing the two as players, but the Eagles are trying to pinch pennies everywhere.
Yeah.
They know Jahan, they're not picking up Dotson's option. We know that.
Yeah.
This is likely his last season. They're not going to afford to pay him moving forward.
And he'll get a nice contract and he'll be a great value for somebody else.
I agree. And so if you trade him and get something for him, at least instead of let him walk out the door, and you believe Terrace Marshall, I do believe there's some logic in that thought process. Now, Marshall may show up. He's done nothing, basically, and he might show up and stink on ice. But if they think he's okay, do you think Jahan Dotson could be a trade candidate?
I mean, he could. Again, this is where you do elevate the conversation. Because, yes, that's very possible based on you're not picking up the fifth-year option, like you said, John. Jahan Dotson is a player that, some teams would want.
Yeah, and the Eagles don't get a lot out of them. And I don't think it's
the No, they don't. They just don't utilize them.
Right, they just don't utilize that position. So,
But again, like, how much do you value the wide receiver three? They got him to be the wide receiver three last year. He was really good at that.
Yeah, and what type of value do you think Dotson has realistically? Like, John, I don't think
it's a three pick, but it's better than nothing. Yeah, right? Exactly. I mean,
you're not just letting him walk.
Yeah.
And you can.
I didn't mean to pray if anybody thought that. You're not getting a ton, but you don't use the position anyway that much. You have persevered with a lesser player. Now, that might change if you don't have Dallas Goedert. All this stuff comes into it where it might become a more important position than you should keep Dotson.
Yeah, well, hear me out. Quez dropped his big opportunity in the Super Bowl. Dotson caught his. Maybe that's all the difference you need right there. One big catch and one big game.
Quez dropped a lot of opportunities.
I know he did. But specifically in the Super Bowl, he dropped that one downfield versus
Jahan. And even when he did catch it, then he fumbled. Remember that 90-plus yard reception? Yeah.
You know what? This is where I give Jahan Dotson so much credit. As a guy who talked to Jahan Dotson pretty much every day I was in that locker room, man, did he have a good head on his shoulders about
everything. Yeah, by the way, you know, that's another thing. I'm complimenting Penn State way too much. But I even talked to, like, Tariq Castro Fields. Like, they're good dudes, man.
Yeah, they are.
And James Franklin doesn't get much credit. You know, he says some stupid shit on
he says a lot of stupid shit.
I agree with that, though, John. That's something that James Franklin deserves some credit for
sure. Yeah, he should be proud because he's developing some good people. I think that should be applauded. Yeah,
but my conversations with James Franklin are never about – it's funny. We never talk about his coaching. I always talk about his players and the players I've covered.
Are you a Franklin guy?
Not really, no. I'm kind of – this is how I view James Franklin. I don't think you can do better because I just don't think anybody better is walking through the door.
I think he's a great, as I told Jeff off air, I think he's a great recruiter. I think he develops good people, but I don't think he's a great game day coach.
Until he becomes one, they're not going to win that. Look, they should be Notre Dame. Bottom line, I've told players on that team that they should have beat Notre Dame. They didn't.
Yeah, they should have. You know, they had more talent. They probably, from that perspective, they should have. But, you know, that Notre Dame team last year was pretty special.
Oh, no, they were good. And you know what? Penn State was good.
Yeah, they were, you know. And I even think, you know, because I'm a big Marcus Freeman guy. I've said that on the show. I like Marcus Freeman a lot.
I covered Marcus Freeman when he played Ohio State.
Yeah, he's doing some, and they suffered two big time injuries, really three big time injuries. Benjamin Morrison was one of them. Riley Mills, the two defensive linemen, Riley Mills and Howard Cross's kid. Those three big time college players, and that would have been interesting if those guys were healthy.
You know, I still say. I would have been curious. I don't think they would have beaten Ohio State in the national championship. But,
no, I don't think so either.
But I think both of them, if Notre Dame is healthier and Penn State got them again, because Penn State had them on the ropes and then James Franklin decided to be James Franklin.
Yeah. Ohio State was clicking, though, at the end, man. They were clicking.
Oh, I know they were.
And what's his name didn't play good when you lost to Notre Dame? Drew. He played terrible.
No, he played terrible. Well, I always said Penn State loses, it's going to be because of Drew Auer.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan. I don't get the hype on Drew. I've said that.
I don't either.
I don't get the hype there.
You know, there's I'll say this too, as someone who known look, I was at the Daily Local in Westchester when Will Howard was before he was what he is now, but he had a lot of hype in the Downingtown area. I tell you what, him winning the national championship was the best and worst thing to happen to him because that cockiness is back. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying.
I have no problem with quarterbacks that are cocky.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing, but I was like, oh, he's back. I kind of like it.
Now, I like Kyle McCord better. I don't know why, but it's hard to argue with it because they won the national championship.
They paid Will Howard a lot of money, too. I was happy for Will when he got it.
And Kyle went to Syracuse with Fran Brown, who's also a local. They're both local to us in the Delaware Valley, for those who listen all around the world. But he set, like, every record, ACC record, Kyle McCord.
Well, when they ditched Kyle McCord for Will Howard, I'm like, look, I like both these kids. I thought they downgraded. But I was happy for Will. He got his money.
And he was, I believe, Xander. He was a St. Joe Preps kid, wasn't he?
McCord. Will or no? Kyle McCord was.
Kyle McCord.
Yeah, McCord was.
You know Kyle McCord was. He threw passes to Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, absolutely. They were great together. They won a state championship at St. Joe's Prep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love Kyle McCord. Great kid, by the way. You know, he's another one. Like, I'm curious for him. I'm curious for Will.
I'm curious to see who goes higher in this draft. Between
McCord and Howard,
I assume Howard will because he's a little bit bigger and he won the national championship.
Yeah,
I think
McCord's a better player.
I think McCord's a better player. I do.
Yeah, it's and look, I like Will. Happy for. By the way, Will Howard's brother is going to be an NFL player too. Ryan Howard, he's a lineman at Kansas State.
Oh, he's a good cleanup hitter too.
Yeah, he is. I always laughed when. When like I was first hearing about Will, and Will was a freshman at Downingtown, and I'm like, man, I'm like, this guy could be a starting quarterback now. And they wanted him to buy his time, but
yeah, right.
But I remember watching the middle school. I'm like, who's that? They're like, that's his brother. I'm like, that's his brother. His brother could be up here. It's a big kid. That's a big family, the Howards.
Jeff, we're 10 days out from the draft, brother. My question to you is: are the Eagles going to get an impact player with their first pick? I don't know if it'll be at 32. I don't know if it'll be at 27. I don't know if it'll be at 40. But will they get an impact player? Because if you look at the last 4 years, Jeff, fans are getting spoiled, and I can't blame
you.
Devontae Smith, Landon Dickerson, top two picks in 21. Jordan Davis, Cam Jurgens, top two picks in 22. Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, top two picks in 23. And Quinyon and Cooper, obviously, last year, top two picks in 24. They're hitting at the top, Jeff.
Oh, they are. I'll tell you what. I don't think they're going to go this route. I don't know if he's going to be available. They can get the Booker kid, the guard.
Yeah, I like him.
That's an impact player.
That's a day one starter. Yes. I don't know how he falls to 32, though.
I don't think he falls to 32. I think he goes in the late teens.
See, I think 20s. Donovan Jackson's a day one starter.
I do, too. I like Donovan Jackson. Yeah.
I just feel like you're going defensive line. I really do. You lost three guys in the defensive line. You lost Sweat.
I still think they're more likely to go defensive front.
I do too.
I guess it does depend how the board falls. But
I'll tell you somebody who they're not getting. I've seen them in mock drafts. Luther Burden. They're not getting him.
Luther Burden. What? I haven't seen
him. Everybody's upset. No, I've seen. I've seen some head scratchers where I'm like, come on, dude, put some effort into it. That's why I hate mock drafts.
This is where I give our draft guys credit. We have four of them. They're very in tune. I always say they text me every day and go, hey, we're doing the mock. What we know the Eagles are looking at defensive line. What do you think of this guy? What do you think of this guy? They do research in
right. They look for information in order to make a pick.
Yeah, and I don't think you can go wrong with either of these picks if you're going to mock them. They're like, well, we're doing the one did a full seven rounds where, and they say right away this is going to be completely wrong, but let's have some fun with it.
Right. Jeff, who are your favorite players in this draft? A little bit down, obviously. I mean, I know everybody's favorite players, Abdul Carter and those guys, but they're not in range. Who are some of your favorite players, though?
See, this is what's crazy for me about the draft. I have to focus on the top 10 because I'm doing the league.
Right.
So I'm more focused on
whoever you like. Who do you like in this draft? Who sticks out to you?
I mean, Booker. that is one of them. For linemen. Man, that's a good question, Xander. I can never pronounce the kid's name, the receiver from Ole Miss.
Receiver from Ole Miss.
Let me get it up here. Let me get my little cheat sheet.
Who am I? I'm getting my cheat sheet out. There's Trey Harris, but I was thinking.
Are you thinking that Tet McMillan?
That's it. No,
Arizona.
He's not Ole Miss, though.
Yeah. He's Arizona.
He's Arizona.
That's why I was blanking. I'm like, Ole Miss.
Ole Miss is Trey Green.
Trey Harris.
But
I like too? Mike Green from Dallas.
From Marshall?
From Marshall.
I like him too.
I mocked him to Dallas.
I like him too. I mean.
My concern with Tet McMillan, he reminds me of Laquan Treadwell.
Who's still in the league, by the way.
I know. But he's big. He's physical. He's a great 50-50 guy. But I don't like guys who can't create separation.
This is the worst year in the draft in a bit that I'm not enamored by the receivers at all.
No.
I'll tell you one guy I think that's going to be good because of the school he went to, Ibuka from Ohio State.
He's my number one receiver. And that partially is, you're not supposed to scout the helmet, so I'm right. But, I mean, I think he's going to be the best receiver in the draft. I do almost every draft now is just loaded with receivers because that's all guys play. They play 7-on-7 the entire offseason. So you got a bunch of wide receivers and defensive backs. Boy, this is a bad class of wide receivers.
I think it's a bad class, period.
Yeah, I'm not in love with it.
Which maybe increases the value of one Jahan Dotson.
Well,
where do you guys think Shador's going?
I'm starting to think Saints, maybe. I could see that. You know where else?
You got to look at Las Vegas and New Orleans.
Yeah.
He's not going 2 or 3. Forget about that.
How about this one?
How about this one, Jeff? How about the New York Jets? They're what? 7 overall, I think.
Who did I mock to the Jets? Oh, I mocked Tyler Warren to the Jets.
Yeah, I don't think the Jets are in it. I think Las Vegas might go, depending on if Tom tells him he can play. They might take him. New Orleans might take him. And if they don't, then you're down. Then he's falling all the way to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and that's where I think he goes.
He'll go in the first round. There's still a shot he'll go top 10. But he doesn't belong there.
You don't think the Cowboys would consider him at 12, do you?
No. They pay Dak.
Cowboys are really stupid though sometimes, Jeff. I never want to put it.
Jerry might want to take him. That might be another. You know what I mean?
Jerry loves those headlines. He's dreaming of what that could look like, man.
That might be another where Johnny Manziel, where Steven had to tackle him and say, no, we can't. We can't take him.
You know what player I really like too? Again, you can tell how much I'm watching. I've been watching the offensive lineman. Kelvin Banks from Texas.
Good player.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely going to be a first rounder.
I think he's better suited for guard than he is a tackle. But
Yeah. For the Eagles, I'm thinking Connerly or Donovan Jackson as the two potentials of that first pick. And that first pick might be 32. It might be 27.
I had Connerly going 25, but I'm a lot higher on Connerly than I think a lot of people.
Because I think those two guys, well, Jackson is a guard, so he's a day one starter, even though he played left tackle. But he played left tackle at Ohio State because Josh Simmons got injured.
Who, by the way, Josh Simmons, I'm really high on. I'm really high on the Ohio State guys.
Yeah,
they're all pretty good this year. Who do you guys think the Patriots are going to take? They're sitting at 4 overall.
Who did I mock?
Like if the Giants
are hoping
Will Campbell was who I had.
That's how I could see that. I'm thinking they're hoping obviously Abdul or Travis.
Yeah, they're hoping Abdul falls, but no. I don't think
Abdul gets past the Giants.
I think it's gonna be Hunter 2. I think it's gonna be Carter 3, and I think it's gonna be Membo 4.
Okay. Yeah,
that's,
I like that.
That's what I think it's going to be. Because people are going to be scared off by Will Campbell's short arms.
Yeah.
And Membo's got a higher.
Membo's the complete package.
Yeah. And then the Jags take who? Jalen Walker and trade the Philadelphia Eagles, Trayvon Walker. Perfect. Perfect scenario.
See, that's more realistic.
there we go, baby.
TJ Watt.
Well, Jacksonville, if I can get Tony off wrestling for a while. I don't know what they're going to do. They're a wild card because they're not a.
When I was talking to people down there, it seems like Mason Graham might be their guy.
I like Mason Graham.
You know, there's interesting that by the way, I gotta give the Giants their flowers if they get Abdul Carter. You're gonna have him, Dexter Lawrence, and Kayvon Thibodeau on defensive line. That's how you build a team.
Yeah, but they also just traded for Burns. Like, is that redundancy? I mean, I know he's a great player. They'll probably move on from somebody else, but you gotta move on from either Thibodeau or Burns.
Too many of these guys.
Huh?
You never have too many of these guys.
When you're at number 3, just draft the best player.
Yep.
The best player in the draft. You're getting the best player in the draft, and you figure out the rest.
Do you do then? What do you do with – because you're not going to keep
– Well, either – you eventually you move on from most likely,
Thibodeau?
Probably going to be Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Could be either. Could be either or.
You paid them.
But the point is, I mean, you need 4 edge rushers, and it ain't the worst thing in the world to have 3 really good
edge rushers. I know Abdul would never go for it, but he – was a pretty good off-ball linebacker at Penn State too, but he moved because the money is where.
Yeah, he's going to be an edge rusher. He is a little undersized, though. I will say. I mean,
he's
I'm not saying he's not a great player, but we have talked about him like a slam dunk.
Oh, believe me, people in Philadelphia will turn their backs on Abdul Carter immediately and say he's all the bad stuff, but. He's going to be fine.
Which is funny because he's the biggest Eagles fan on the planet.
Yeah, I know.
But is he undersized or not? That's all I'm saying. I'm not turning.
No, he's undersized, but he.
Everybody's undersized now, sadly. I keep talking about it. Nobody seems to care. But I mean, he's bigger than Micah coming out.
Yeah, he was.
That's true.
But you know what? It's funny. Micah helped recruit Abdul to Penn State. And I mean, I know they're close. It's going to be ironic when one plays the Cowboys and the
other. And I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Micah, but because I don't think he's going to be that good. But, and the Eagles fans don't think Micah's that good. So,
which is hilarious considering Micah's a freak.
Mike is a great pass rusher, but he's not a well-rounded player. He stinks against the run. I mean,
LT wasn't that great against the run.
Well, either. It's fine. I mean, if you want to go down that route,
I mean, that's arguably the greatest defensive player of all time.
That's fair. It's fair.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody's got holes in. Nobody's perfect. You know, I remember there's...
Well, no one's like Jalen Hurts, Sander. All he does is win.
There's all these contrarians. I remember the people who would point out that Aaron Donald, oh, he's not that good against the run.
Who cares? I'm
like, all right, dude.
Yeah, but you can acknowledge that without disparaging the player. You might prefer a guy that's more versatile. I'd like to think Vic Fangio does. I think Vic Fangio prefers versatility.
You know, Xander, I have a joke about Mr. 2,500 yards on the Eagles.
Okay, what's that?
He's probably the worst runner inside the 3-yard line I've ever seen, even in college. That's why Jalen scores so many touchdowns.
Yeah, because he can't finish it off. It's amazing. He should be able to finish it off.
He should be, but that's not his game, and that's fine.
Still like an ox. I mean, you got to be able to get in there.
I mean, he's a big boy. Saquon's a big boy. I mean, if they could, they would. But I'd rather have Jalen in those 600-pound squatting take that beating.
Yeah. We put a pause on. We'll get back to it in May. What happens? But I don't think the Eagles are going to be affected.
I don't either. I think they're going to be better.
Yeah.
And it's going to be funny.
Yeah, percentage-wise, they're definitely going to be better because percentage-wise, they took a dive last year, which Jeffrey admitted. And they probably should have shipped it a little bit already. But to Xander's point about, look, Vic takes advantage of what he has. Trust me, if you give him 2,000, whatever it was, 18 Khalil Mack, he'll take 2018 Khalil Mack.
I'm not saying it wouldn't take him. I'm just saying
what I'm saying is he'd take that over versatility is what I'm saying. Like, he'll take advantage of what he has, and what he wants is a superstar edge rusher. Everybody wants that in the NFL. But he'll do the best. Not everybody can have that. And he'll
Everybody's that good. Let's be real. Most players aren't that good. So look at Bryce Huff, right? Well, guy was a one-trick pony. Guy was, you know, barely used this year. I know he was injured.
Bryce Huff can't be any worse than he was last year.
No, he can't. Me and John talked about this. We actually debated about this, and I've concluded John was right. He can't get worse, so he's going to be a little bit better. But how good? That's the question.
Yeah. Well, will he give him a chance? I don't know if he'll even give him a chance.
Yeah. But. I mean, it's pretty much you just kind of have him toil around this year, and that's it.
All right, I set the over-under at a little higher for John. I'm gonna lower it for you, Jeff, because John resoundingly took the under. I put it at 6. I'm going to put it at 4.5 for you. Over-under 4.5 sacks for Bryce Huff next year.
That's a good over-under.
I'm going to go over.
I'm going under. I just don't think they're going
to play him. Yeah, that's the only. If he plays, I'm going emphatically over.
Yeah. If he plays, I think he gets 7 or 8. But does he play?
But I don't think he's going to play.
Well, that's part of the equation, guys. You got to factor
in. Oh, yeah, but I'm explaining but that's why I'm explaining the thought process. I don't think he's going to play. That's why it's under. If he's forced to play, let's say they can't draft an edge rusher. Azeez Ojulari gets hurt or Josh Uche gets hurt and he's forced to play, he'll get more than 4.5. But my thought process is he's not going to play. So, yeah, he's going to be under.
There's no way they bring in a Khalil Mack, is there?
No, he already signed.
That's right. He signed. I'm in baseball mode.
He got $18 million, dude.
He's 35 years old, and he got $18 million.
I should have said a Khalil Mack type player. I should have said that. But yeah, see, this is what happens when you have baseball.
A little bit of an older guy, a guy that has more experience, you know, maybe to replace a Brandon Graham or something like that. I could see that thought process, especially with Vic. I think Vic likes the older players a little bit. Not too old, but old enough to have some experience.
I do think the Justin Simmons thing, there's some legs on
that. Oh, yeah. There's some legs to that, but that won't happen until after the draft.
Which is smart. That's what's smart.
Would you make that move, though, Jeff?
For Justin Simmons, yeah, I take a flyer on him.
I would, just because I feel like there's so many holes right now. You know, I'd rather bring
I don't think Justin Simmons hurts you. Like,
that's what I mean. I think he's very, very – yeah, I agree.
I would have taken him last year.
Yeah.
I'd take the kid from Penn State on day three and roll the dice there.
Kevin Winston?
No.
Or Jalen Reed?
Jalen Reed.
I think Kevin Winston's going day two.
Yeah, so do I. That's too high. I can't take one there. But I take him on day three and go that route. I mean, if they're trying to save money, save money. I'm not paying Justin Simmons 1 year, $8 million. If you want to save money, save million, save money. And I draft a kid.
You know what my bold prediction is for the first? I don't even think it's bold. Two running backs get taken, and one definitely gets taken in the top 10.
He got Jenkins and Hampton.
And Hampton, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like Hampton.
I do, too.
Chenty's the top 10 pick. I don't know about – yeah, he could be, but definitely top 15, two in the top 15.
Yeah. I think they're the only two that could take in the first round.
The kid from Ohio State is like
– oh, Junkins? Yeah.
No, the other
Henderson.
There's two Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State.
By the way, do you guys know that roster in Ohio State was like $30 million?
That roster was low.
They have a chance from projections to, I think the record is 16 or 17 from Georgia in one draft. They have a chance to beat that.
Well, they have NFL players on that roster. Man,
I don't know if they're going to beat that. That is crazy, man.
They have NFL players across the board, though. I said that last year.
They got
players. That is absurd drafted.
People have brought it up. I find it hard to believe they're going to break the record, but we just talked about it. They got two running backs. They got two offensive linemen in the first round. They're loaded.
By the way, their best receiver didn't even leave. Jeremiah Smith, he was a freshman.
Oh, he's the best player on their team.
Yeah,
he won
the
national championship.
I know.
Notre Dame came back in that game, and if they stopped – that was a fourth down play.
Yeah.
If they stopped them, they got a chance to, I forget the score. They could have tied or won the game. And Smith just beat them deep. Again, they had no Benjamin Morrison. He's their best player on the team. He's like Devontae Smith.
to this day, because Penn State lost to Ohio State the way they did, and that was probably one of the more heartbreaking days I've had as someone who is close to a lot of people on that team, the fact that no one in the media asked James Franklin why Tyler Warren or Nicholas Singleton did not get the ball inside the 5-yard line on first and goal, either of those plays, is incredible. I'm like, if this is Philadelphia, John McMullen couldn't wait to ask that question.
I was multitasking.
He's down the Penn State rabbit hole.
How does a top five pick, a top player in the draft, not get the ball inside the 5-yard line when you're down three on first and goal?
Jeff's still pissed off about that semifinal that James Franklin blew.
Oh, that's not the semifinal. That's a regular season. Semifinal was not James Franklin's fault. That was all Drew Bauer.
Yeah, Drew Bauer stomping. Oh, God. That was a tough watch because of Drew
Bauer. When your quarterback plays like that, it's tough.
Man. Yeah, you're not winning anything. No, Xander, you're right.
You would have loved watching that semifinal game with me. When the game's, you know, tied, I'm just like, all right, just give the ball to Singleton and Allen. They just got 10 yards on the run.
They were having great games, Singleton and Allen. I mean, he's not a great game day coach. But when your quarterback plays poorly, you're kind of hamstrung.
Makes it a lot harder. No
exactly. Guy. And that's why I said, I'm like, look, you want to crucify James Franklin for a lot of things, fine. Do not do it for the semifinal game.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, we got 10 days out from the NFL draft. Any final thoughts on that as it inches closer? You said you put out the mock draft. Plug it. Tell people where to go and read it. Actually get some. An educated mock draft for the people, Jeff.
Educated mock draft. We'll see how many of these picks I actually get right.
More so than maybe the other mocks.
I actually did get 15 right the other year. I think it was 2 years ago. So
that's pretty good. 15 picks, right? That's pretty good. I'll give you that.
Yeah. So, CBSSports.com. I'm going to have a couple articles this week. Players who the Eagles should draft at 32, trades the Eagles could potentially make up or down at 32. Ooh, so that job. should be a fun one. But this is why I can't wait for the draft, because I'm always tell me where they're going, and then I'll make my evaluation. Right. I'm that guy. So my overreactions piece those nights of the draft, I'm sure I'll be coming on with you guys that weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun breaking down. Like if Shador goes to the Saints, I'm probably going to love it just because of Kellen Moore.
Yeah, I'd like it too. He's pro style too. I think.
By the way, Shador's going to be in Vegas today.
Yeah, that's
meeting with them.
Yeah.
You know what?
Even after that,
it's weird. I don't love him on the Raiders. I kind of hope he doesn't go there.
I think it's a great situation. Remember, they have Tom now. A little bit different.
I wonder if that was the reason they would draft him, just because of Tom, and he's got the relationship with Shador and stuff. So
it's a fresh start. I mean, honestly, the Raiders organization should be a lot better than what they are.
Well, that's tough to not be. But, yeah, they have to be almost better. I think that's a possibility. Saints are a possibility. And if not, then at Pittsburgh for Shador Sanders.
And if Pittsburgh don't want him, he ain't going the first round.
No. Well, maybe that's where the Eagles' 32nd overall pick gets a max value, and they can trade out.
There's a lot of Jackson Dart people in the NFL, and there's a lot of Tyler Shuck people in the NFL. We found out his name is Shuck.
It's weird pronunciation.
Jackson Dart would be the 10th best quarterback in last year's
draft. I agree. I think Shador Sanders might have been the 10th best quarterback in last year's draft, but
what would Cam Ward have been last year?
Third? He'd be in the middle. I think he'd be 4 or 5.
You could start him at 4. He's nowhere near the top 3. You can argue Cam Ward. But I'd still take Penix and JJ over Cam Ward.
It's so funny. I wasn't crazy about Bo Nix in college, but when Sean Payton got him, I could see this working.
He was my most in wrong player assessment last year was Bo Nix.
Well,
Alabama destroy him every year, and I'm like, Bo Nix, he's not going to do shit in the NFL. And what I know, I was way wrong on him, so I'll eat my crow on that.
Well, with revision, Bo Nix is 4 right now. And Penix is 5, McCarthy is 6, because McCarthy hasn't even taken a damn snap. So if you look at those 6 in that order, where would Cam Ward be? Maybe 6th, maybe ahead of McCarthy.
With
revision, I mean, at best, he's 6th.
John, you guys started Birds 365, what was it, April 21? It was before the 21 draft, right?
Boy, I don't know, but we.
I don't know, Jeff. That was exactly when it was started.
Boy, if we had that show established, I would have came on here with that quarterback list. But, like, I'm sorry. These guys suck. I didn't like any of them. I was not a Trey Lance guy.
Well, I don't think anybody projected Trey Lance to go as poorly as he did, but I was very surprised by that trade.
I was.
And San Francisco is typically a good order, and they were able to overcome it in different ways. But
the 2020 draft class, I was really high on, and
I was tremendously high on Trevor Lawrence, tremendously high on Trevor Lawrence.
Well, Trevor Lawrence is still a good player, but after him, I was just like, "There's no one here." Like, I wasn't.
I'll tell you who loved Zach Wilson.
The Eagles.
Your Philadelphia Eagles.
They love Zach Wilson.
Loved him. I mean, loved him over the moon.
Over their guy.
Justin Fields, Jody and I used to talk about Justin Fields a lot. I liked him, not as much. Jody loved him.
Jody now loved he gets him. Now he's on the Jets. I wonder
now
what
he gets him on the up. Jets. Mac Jones. Good backup quarterback.
You know what's crazy? Mac Jones had, like, for quarterbacks, he had a historic rookie season in terms of, like, completion percentage and yards per attempt.
That's a confusing case to me, because let's be real, Devontae Smith wouldn't have won a Heisman without Mac Jones. So, I mean, he could throw the ball.
Here's what I say when I look at that draft. I always spring up because I love the O'Connell quote. He said it this offseason. Organizations fail quarterbacks more than quarterbacks fail organizations. That's how I feel about it.
And the Patriots failed Mac Jones. I do think that.
But to be fair, Mac Jones might have needed a perfect squad around him. Like Al, let's be real. That Alabama team.
Well, let's look at his receivers. Yeah. Smith, Judy, Ruggs. There's another one in there.
Everybody, dude. No, that was the Waddle. He had Waddle. Remember?
Yeah, that's right. Waddle was the one I'm forgetting.
Got hurt that year, so Devontae kind of took over at the end of the day. And then they won the national championship. Devontae had like 260 yards in the first half. I mean, that was a crazy year.
I'll tell you what. No one wrote, and Devontae Smith already was on the map, but no one raised their draft stock that year more than him, I think, that year. And
yeah, what did he go, 15, Mac Jones? He go 15 overall?
So yeah, 15 overall.
To the Patriots, yeah.
Yeah, 15 overall. But, like, Jesus, remember watching that national championship game, though, with Devontae Smith? You're just like, oh, my God. Like, this guy's going to have 500 yards receiving. I can't stop him.
Yeah. That was a good draft, if you look at it overall. Yeah. Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, Penei Sewell, J.C. Horn, Patrick Surtain.
Penei Sewell, might be the best player. Micah Parsons was in that draft.
Rashawn Slater's a very good player.
Who did take at 11 in that draft? Who was 11?
Yeah, anybody remember Giants picked?
Justin Fields. Oh. They traded down. They traded down for Tony. Kadarius Toney.
Remember the Eagles jumped the Giants to get Smith.
Yep.
Eagles traded with the Cowboys. The Cowboys took part. That was a great draft. See, this is why me and John have been saying this draft stinks, because we've had some amazing drafts in Philly the last couple of years. I mean, a lot of good moves.
Even if you go down to the bottom of that draft, you had Jalen Phillips to Miami, who's a great player. You had Christian Darrisaw to Minnesota, who's a great player.
That was coming off the COVID year too, the weird COVID year of 2020. And you knew there were good players in that draft.
Yeah, that was a very good trade.
You know, it's funny. Jody Mack always likes to give me a pat on the back about the 2020 draft. And I don't consider myself a quarterback expert by any means. But I'm like, man, Jody, I love Joe Burrow. I love Justin Herbert. I love Tua. I love Jalen Hurts. And I even like Jordan Love. And Jody's like, man, you nailed it. You nailed it. I'm like, well, I didn't nail it. I said Tua was the best out of all of them.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't nail it, but I do.
If you go back to the 2020 draft, was it 2020? Yeah, 2020. So Burrow's number one, obviously. That's good. Chase Young's number two.
He's had a tremendous rookie year.
I remember people saying he's better than the Boses and all that. Not the case.
No, I wasn't.
Jeff Okuda was number three. Talk about a bad pick.
That was a bad pick.
Where was that? I don't even know where he's at right now. He was at Atlanta last year.
Andrew Thomas was number four, which is a great pick. Good player. Only offensive lineman that's ever worked out.
Hey, Gettleman got a pick right.
Tua was number five. Justin was number six. Derek Brown, good player, number seven.
Yep.
Isaiah Simmons never lived up to the hype because nobody could figure out where to play him. C.J. Henderson, no good. Jedrick Wills, pretty good player. Becton, Ruggs, would have been a good player if he wasn't an idiot.
Jedrick Wills is part of one of my BG stories.
I wonder if Ruggs is going to get back in the league. I think he gets out on Terrell in a year.
No. He's out.
No.
He's gone.
Man,
he'll be out when he's
still be young enough. But it's a really can he be out? That
I think so.
By the way, somebody
will give him a shot. I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to advocate for the guy or anything.
No, somebody.
I would wonder if he would look at him and say,
"Oh my God, what the best kid here is still getting shots."
That's what I mean. But that's what I mean. You guys both just shot it down. Is it more likely?
I was shooting it down from the perspective of him getting out. He'd only be 26 or 27. I can't imagine they'd let him out, but what do I know? Things are so weird. I find it hard to believe that.
It says he's up for parole in August of 26.
Well, if he gets out, I mean, you know, up for parole doesn't necessarily mean it's likely.
Right.
But, you know, I think somebody will talk themselves into it if he gets out. But my thought process on that is I find it hard to believe he's getting out.
I agree.
That was a terrible story. But
yeah,
maybe I'm a weirdo because I know other people look at me like some kind of monster. But when I hear the dog died as well, I just lose it because I love dogs so much. But
yeah, John, I had a little dog tragedy this weekend, as you well know.
Oh, no. What happened, Jeff?
Oh, our oldest dog in the family, he was 13. We had to put him to sleep Friday. Now, keep this in mind. This is how crazy and how shitty cancer is. He may have had it last Monday. He had spleen cancer, right? But they said it developed in him so quick that 2 weeks ago he was fine, like completely fine. And it was like he basically developed it last week, and the spleen, like, he was bleeding internally from, like, he was moving around. He went for like a 2 mile walk on Thursday. Friday, you couldn't move him out of the bed. He only jumped out of the bed to see my dad. That was it. And I'm like, that's like, it just hit. Like it's just a big tidal wave just hit.
My dog died last Monday, Jeff, and I was not ready for what that was going to do to me. That thing rocked me. And it was a surprise. I did not expect my dog was going to die in the next 2 years, let alone that week. You know, so that was so crazy.
Oh, I lost my first dog. First of all, that was my own. She was 6, the cancer, and that just hit too. So
no, it's tough, man.
It sucks. Like, you know, I got a puppy now. You know, it's awesome, but you know, you always prepare for that moment. And like Barney was 13. I'm like, you were ready for it, but you didn't want it to happen.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. I hear you. I'm sorry, but
it's just the way it happened. Like, it just boom. You know, it's like
it's devastating.
It really is. People, I don't think people understand it until you experience it. You know.
It was so weird, Xander. Like, I was, you know, I knew he wasn't feeling right. I tried giving him meat when I came over. He wasn't taking it. I'm like, I'm a little concerned, you know. I already could tell he was losing a little bit of weight earlier in the week when I visited him and petted him and stuff. But, like, I went to the Sixers game with my buddy on Friday. My sister calls me up when I get in the car to go home. And I figured it was more of the weather was bad. Like, you know, she's like, you got to come to, you know, we're going to put Barton. I'm like, what? And like, she's like, tell me the story. I'm like, oh Jesus. And like, it just sucked.
Yeah, no, it does. There's no doubt about it. It stinks, but.
All right, I handle death as like part of life, that type of thing. But man, like you just got to go in the corner.
It's depressing. Yeah. And by the way, I meant to get to that with you, but the only thing more depressing might be the Philadelphia 76ers. So thankfully
that season is over. Thank the Lord.
You just mentioned going to the Sixers game. My God.
The only reason I went at the end of the year.
The Sixers game on Friday? That is insane to me.
How many people were there?
It wasn't full. I'll tell you that right now.
I know it wasn't full.
Funny story. As someone who...
Did you park at Ed Snyder's old spot?
So someone who lives, breathes, and dies with that basketball team and am very realistic being a Sixers fan... I love Lonnie Walker. My buddy coached him years ago, back when he was at Reading. I love seeing Lonnie Walker play, but God, is that team bad to watch play basketball.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, you tweeted something out. I said that was the worst, at least the last quarter of the season. That was when they just shut everything down, which is embarrassing for the NBA, embarrassing for them.
And yeah.
In a lot of ways, it was worse than even the worst of the process.
You know what?
It was where they were supposed to be.
It was so funny, John. As you remember, like, I was so negative when they started 2-12. I said, they're not coming back from this. They're not. Everybody's like, oh, no, don't get that. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, people I've talked to, Joel Embiid is not healthy, and he's not coming back the way you think he's coming back.
He's toast, man.
Like, it's... Yeah. I just hope Jared McCain
and they're going to roll out like from a business. Like, I guess Josh Harris doesn't care anymore. because he's got the Commanders.
Yeah, there. He's got a new baby.
And our gal Allie Waddington got promoted. I just congratulated her yesterday. She's now the vice president of corporate communications for the Washington Commanders. But anyway, I digress. She used to be an Eagles PR person.
She was very good at her job.
Yeah, very good at her job. So congratulations to Allie if she's listening. And she did occasionally listen to the show. I'm sure she doesn't now that.
Did she listen in because she had to, or did she?
Yeah, because I think because she had to. She told me she listened, but she, you know, I got other shit to do. She can't listen every day. But anyway, congratulations to her.
I'm told by multiple PR people for multiple teams that they listen in a lot more than you think.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, I know because I get the text messages. But from the standpoint of Josh Harris and the Sixers, I'm like, how can you roll back Daryl Morey and Nick Nurse? I mean, that's the plan. Like, how are you going to sell tickets?
And you know what's crazy? I'm a big Nick Nurse guy.
I would have no
problem. I don't think Nurse is the problem at all.
I'd have no problem with Nick. I think you can get by with Nick Nurse another year. I got a big problem with Daryl Morey.
What's crazy? I like Daryl Morey the person. I just don't think he should be the GM.
No, he should not be the GM. I mean, I'm sorry. This guy is the most overrated GM maybe in sports. Like, I literally have been hearing the Daryl Morey story for 8 years now. And he does the same fucking thing every time, every place he goes.
Yeah.
It hasn't worked yet.
You know, the only reason I'm trying to talk myself into why Daryl Morey is still the GM is because he actually does draft well.
He does draft well, but you
know, but that's it. That's all
the NBA is a lot more. It's not football, man. You got to do a lot more than draft well in the NBA. You just do.
I hear you, but then I see Tyrese Maxey, Jared McCain, and guys like that, and I'm like, okay, well, they get the top six pick. I don't think he's going to screw it up.
Well, I don't. I'm not like that idiot before
him, and the idiots before. Oh my god, I still can't get over the fact that I would have called the Celtics bluff and took Tatum number one. I would have.
Yeah, it was a brilliant bluff by the Celtics, but
they're a smart.
The whole collapse of the process has just been—it's almost been poetic for the people.
That to me, Jason Tatum, like this organization, thought Markelle Fultz was better than Jason Tatum. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, but Markelle Fultz was never supposed to be that bad. I mean, you could argue the player evaluation was awful.
Of course, but Jason Tatum turns into – I mean, that's the whole trick. That's what we do, right? Player evaluation.
Yeah.
One guy's, like, going to the Hall of Fame, and another guy's, you know, talking about
– I just remember,
they're making up ailments to describe how poor he is. You know,
yeah, I just remember like going into that draft. I just remember going to that draft. I talked to guys I knew in the know about professional basketball, and they're like, dude, the sure thing's Jason Tatum. He may not be great, but he's the sure thing. You take the sure thing.
You know, I always get a kick out of it when I hear new injuries because it strikes me as, all right, you know, you're trying to. But I have talked to a lot of doctors over the years who've explained to me, like one explained to me, I always got a kick out of it. Remember when the hip stuff started in baseball? I forget what they called it, but it was with all the steroid guys. And Alex Rodriguez was one of them. I forget the actual, like, I remember thoracic outlet syndrome because it was so hokey, but
God, I swear they made that up on the fly.
But oh, the as vascular necrosis started showing up all the time, the Bo Jackson injury, and it was all steroid guys. And I said, where the hell was this before? And somebody from the New York Hospital for Special Surgery said, well, it's always been there, we just diagnose it better. So, I mean, they aren't making shit up. I say that in jest, but when you hear it through. Thoracic outlet syndrome. I mean,
yeah,
my really. God, what is going on?
I still haven't forgiven this franchise. As someone who covered Mikal Bridges in high school and someone who knows him, I have still not forgiven them for trading him on draft night.
That was a stupid trade.
I have not forgiven this franchise for it. And I'm the idiot because I'm the guy who gives them my money and season tickets, but I like basketball. So, but
Jeff, who's going to win the NBA Finals? The playoffs are set to kick off.
Yeah, this week. I'm going to I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you who I'm rooting for.
Who are you rooting for?
OKC.
Yeah, I am too. I'm rooting for OKC.
I think Boston's going to win.
I'm the same way. I'll tell you who the most overrated team is in basketball, and I'll say this as a fan of a lot of players on that team, the New York Knicks are the most overrated team I've ever seen. They don't beat anybody any good, but they are the new Sixers.
What do you think the Lakers are going to do this year?
I'm so intrigued by the Luka LeBron thing. I really am. I think they're a lot better than what people say they are.
Luka owns OKC.
Yes,
so I could see them upsetting Oklahoma City, but I don't think they can win the whole thing.
They got a tough first round. They got to play the Timberwolves in the first round. That's not a bad team.
By the way, how about the West? Like, just from 4 to 8 was everybody had like the same. The Nuggets fired a good coach.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was really weird. That whole situation with them was weird.
Like, they're not a bad team. They're a good team. They're a great team.
The players not listening to the coach anymore. That's what that is.
By the way, I did have to laugh when Nikola Jokic goes, well, we need to improve on defense. I'm like, pot calling kettle, you know what? Come on, dude. You don't play any defense. You stay at the top of the paint and just inflate your stats. You're a Hall of Famer. Great player, but you can't play defense, and everybody knows it.
Are either of you two buying any of the conspiracy theories about the Lakers? Yes or no?
Which one?
What are the conspiracies?
Yeah, there's a
couple. I don't know. Just that they're I don't know. The Dallas Mavericks trade one of the best 25, 26-year-old players.
I have a conspiracy. I do have a conspiracy theory about
the Lakers in the middle of the year for no reason. The guy went to the finals last year.
I have a conspiracy theory about the league. This is my conspiracy theory. This league cannot have the Boston Celtics and Los Angeles Lakers suck.
They suck for years. Well, the Celtics sucked for years.
But the Lakers didn't. They can't both suck. That's what my philosophy.
I'm not. I mean, the Lakers are just a good organization.
Well, they are.
I mean, Dallas, that was a dumb trade. But they did get Anthony Davis, right?
Yeah, they did.
They didn't get him for a pile of peanuts.
By the way, here's a fun.
This is not Luka fucking Doncic.
No, I didn't say was. It's a bad trade, but
fun Sixers fact about that trade. There was a player on the Sixers roster at the end of the season that was involved in that trade.
Who was it?
Jalen Hood-Safina.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that is a pile of peanuts.
Did you tell him a basketball sicko that I know that?
Yeah, that's a pile of peanuts. I think it was a whole pile of peanuts, but I digress. Jeff Kerr, thank you for joining today, brother. A long time, but we love talking to you on a Monday edition of Birds 365, 10 days out from the NFL draft. We'll see how it all shakes out. Jeff, thank you, brother. We will talk to you next week on Birds 365.
And you boys need me during the draft if you know, just want
to. Yeah, we'll jump on from the Novakirk. Are you going to be there?
I plan to be. By the way, John, do I reach out to Bob on that one?
I would reach out to Shane.
Okay, yeah.
Wait, I want to know, can I get a credential for the White House visit? I want to go to the White House.
You have to go through a lot of hoops.
Have you ever visited the White House?
Well, I was wondering if John, are you guys going? Or are you guys going to
go? I assume we'll get the information last time. Which we never went.
Last time never went.
It was canceled, but we went through all the rigmarole. We had to go through. Yeah, you got to go through background checks and all that kind of stuff. Right. So, I imagine that information.
Have you ever been to the White House? No, never been.
I'll tell you what. As someone who knows someone pretty in government, man, the background check is something.
I believe it.
Yeah. Oh man, like
I believe
it. The process for it. It's like. Now, obviously, if you just want to see the White House, like actually get to visit it, there's like a 6 to 9 month like process toward it. I mean, maybe one of our listeners can actually, but he was like telling me, like, dude, you got to fill this out. You got to fill this out. They check everything, man. Like they're checking speed. He always says they're checking speeding tickets here.
No doubt. Jeff, thank you, brother. We'll talk to you next week. All right, man.
All right. Yep. I'll see you.
All right, thanks, Jeff. There's Jeff Kerr here on Birds 365.
That's great interesting. Yeah, now that you bring that up, I've gotten no information on the White House visit yet, so we'll see how that goes. But
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.